content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is all about pets. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the New York Times, Catster.com, and Dogster Magazine. We'll begin today's program with an article from the New York Times titled, What? Your dog doesn't have her own refrigerator? By Leah Picard. Interior design that caters to animals has become its own niche market with the great pandemic pet boom. Derek Walker had never built a playhouse for pets before. Mr. Walker, a woodworker in Nashville, typically builds custom cabinetry. But when Kelly Ladwig, a local real estate agent, asked him to construct a playhouse for her three cats and two dogs, he was intrigued. It was to reside in Miss Ladwig's recently built custom home, where the animals, which she calls the Furry Five, would have a bedroom of their own. Mr. Walker's design for the 8x9-foot playhouse reflected details found in the actual house, such as sliding barn doors and railings that match the home's staircase. There's also a balcony that Miss Ladwig and her wife, Susie Stolars, refer to as the catio, which was intentionally placed on the side of the playhouse closest to the room's window. If the cats wanted to lay out on the catio and get some sun, they could do so, Mr. Walker said. Pricing varies for Mr. Walker's custom projects, but this particular one cost about $12,000. Mr. Walker himself has an Irish doodle, but the 45-ish pound dog is too big for her own playhouse, he says. These are our children, Miss Ladwig, 52, said, adding that she and her wife keep them in mind, much like anybody else building a home. The benefit of building a custom home is you can do whatever you want, she said. So we built things that work for the way we live. In addition to the playhouse, other pet-centric features Miss Ladwig and Miss Stolars had installed included a dog shower, built-in litter boxes in the laundry room, and a watering station in the kitchen. Americans have long had an affinity for their pets and a willingness to spend money on them. See barcuterie boards and luxury pet hotels. And that inclination only increased during the pandemic, where there was also a surge in pet ownership. A biennial survey released by the American Pets Products Association in June 2021 showed that 35% of the survey takers said they spent more on pet supplies, including food, wellness-related products, and other pet care items in the previous 12 months than in the prior year. High interest rates have made the prospect of owning a home in itself seem farther out of reach for some people, but for those who can afford it, pampering their pets with built-in architecture features is a worthwhile expense. The evolution from mere pet to a four-legged family member began in the 1970s, said Andrea Lawrence Simpson, a sociology research assistant professor at Southern Methodist University and author of the book Just Like Family, How Companion Animals Joined the Household. There were shifts in family dynamics in the United States, such as women becoming more economically independent, that resulted in children becoming less of a focus and families becoming smaller, making room for pets to play a bigger role in them, she says. What Ms. Lawrence Simpson refers to as multi-species families rose alongside non-traditional families. I think it's just a generational thing that we're only going to see increase, Ms. Lawrence Simpson said. Baby boomers have evolved into thinking of their pets as family members as they have become empty nesters, she said. But it's the younger generations, millennials and older Gen Zers, that are fully leaning into the idea of dogs as children. Some are even eschewing children completely for dogs. For some pet owners, pet-forward design is a confluence of making the home more functional while also pampering pups. Mel Bean, an interior designer in Tulsa, Oklahoma, recalled designing built-in dog crates in the primary bedroom for a client's two Westies. They sleep in the room with them every night, Miss Bean said. So this gave them a designated space. Working with the room's limited square footage, she created a cupboard-style closet with the crates integrated in the bottom. They painted white They're painted white, just like the surrounding cabinets, and have a wire grid door with latches selected to match the home's aesthetics. It's much more beautiful than the dog bed lying on the ground and provided them a ton of usual storage, Miss Bean said. That project was in 2013, but since the pandemic, designing for dogs has become standard for Miss Bean's firm. I don't know that I have had a single new build that does not have a dog area like that, she said. One house she's currently working on has French bulldogs, which are notoriously messy eaters, she says. So the clients asked her to design a dog kennel-like structure off the primary bedroom. The kennel has a dog door that opens from the outside and leads directly to the dog shower, as well as built-in crates and their own refrigerator and dedicated freezer drawers for their raw food. The area also includes a dishwasher drawer dedicated solely to dog bowls, which the clients wanted for sanitary reasons. The room is cool and beautiful, but also the entire room can just be hosed down and scrubbed, Miss Bean said. Christine Messier, a lawyer in Sarasota, completed a kitchen renovation about a month ago in her 1,744-square-foot house. Part of that redesign included a feeding station for her two small dogs, Bella and Beau, to keep the food and water bowls off the floor. All of this happened right when I was pregnant, and so I think a little bit of it was little of guilt of them being my first babies and needing something special too, Miss Messier, 33, said. The feeding station is an alcove at the end of the island that holds the dogs' food bowls and water bowls. The backsplash is white quartz to match the countertops, and there's a pot filer, or in this case, a bowl filler. The contractor plumbed the water through the pipe and connected it to a three-stage water filter. The dogs get drooly, the bottom of the station is slanted forward so the water runs away from the cabinets. Sometimes, though, function is largely a side effect of pet owners' desire to create more dedicated space in their homes for their animals. A dog shower and feeding station, Miss Ladwig said, can help with the resale because other people will probably find it useful. Do we really need to have a dog door through a steel door? Probably not, she said, but it makes life easier. Next, we'll move on to catster.com, and we'll read a story titled A Wild Rescue Story by Annie Butler Sheriffs. Critically acclaimed documentary tells the story of a British Army veteran and his efforts to rehabilitate an orphaned ocelot. When British Army veteran Harry Turner returned from active duty, horrific events he witnessed left him struggling with PTSD and depression. Obsessed with thoughts of self-harm and suicide, he tried to disappear into the wilderness. But a chance meeting with the conservationist Samantha Zwicker offered him a second chance. Prime Video's new critically acclaimed documentary, Wildcat, follows Harry and Samantha through an emotional journey of caring for an orphaned baby ocelot, hoping to rehabilitate him into the wild. Falling in love with both the kitten and Samantha, Harry agrees to become the ocelot's adoptive mother and spends 18 months in a remote compound deep in the jungle, devoting himself to the cat. From bottle feeding to the cat's first successful rodent hunt, Harry celebrates all of the milestones. As much as this film about cats is becoming wild again, it's also about two people reconnecting with nature and themselves. While they're saving the animals are also saving them. Directed by Melissa Lesh and Trevor Frost, the documentary has been released in theaters and will be seen globally on Prime Video at the end of December of last year. Next, we'll move on to an article in Cat Healthcare, Hydration for Health, Kitty Needs to Drink Up, by Arden Moore. Does your cat shun the water bowl every time he walks past it? Ensuring your cat is well hydrated can prove to be quite a challenge. But you know your feline friend needs to drink up to stay healthy. Adequate hydration is essential to the vascular circulation of blood, says Dr. Jamie Wittenberg, owner of Kingsgate Animal Hospital in Lubbock, Texas. Blood circulation enables for the transport of important substances, oxygen and carbon dioxide, through the body. Water also plays a key role in ushering out body waste, in regulating body temperature, and to act as both a shock absorber and lubricant for the joints. Dehydration can trigger seizures and damage kidneys. Bottom line, without water, a feline body cannot function. Now comes the tricky part. How do you tempt your cat to step up his water consumption? 10 easy hydration tricks. Catster reached out to a few stellar feline experts who share these tantalizing tactics. 1. Elevate water bowls. Some cats need their bowls elevated so they do not put strain on their front legs as they lean over the bowl, says Dr. Elizabeth Collarin, past president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners, who operates the cat-only Chico Hospital for Cats in Chico, California. Older cats who are likely to have osteoarthritis are not able to easily put a lot of weight on their forelimbs. 2. Dish up canned food early on. I encourage my clients to offer canned diets to their kittens early on so they recognize it as food, says Dr. Catherine Prim, owner of the Applebrook Animal Hospital in Ootlewah, Tennessee, and host of the Nine Lives of Dr. Cat podcast on Pet Life Radio. Because of the high water content, it is a good idea to have a cat who will eat many types of cat food. Canned food typically contains between 70 to 80% water. Bring on the broth. Most cats really like the flavor of chicken broth, Dr. Collarin says. Bone broth, whether you make it or buy it, is another option. Just make sure the broth does not contain onion or seasonings. 4. Put water in wide bowls. Cats rely on their whiskers as sensory organs to alert them to what is around them, says Kate Benjamin, founder of House Panther and co-author of the New York Times bestseller, Catification. Cats do not like the feel of their whiskers scrunched when trying to drink water from a narrow bowl. I make sure my cats have wide water bowls so there are no whisker issues. 5. Pay attention to the water bowl's location. Cats are fussy and don't like having their water bowl positioned right next to their food bowl. Cats are hunters, and because they eat when they kill, they try not to eat where water sources are for fear of contamination, Dr. Collarin says. 6. Disguise the water in something yummy. Renowned animal trainer Samantha Martin makes sure her amazing acro cats are well hydrated so they can perform their circus cat-like moves on stage. We boil chicken breast in water for treats, she says, Amanda, who's based in Atlanta. We give them this chicken water for added hydration and nutrition. They love it. 7. Clean the water bowls. Consider ceramic, stainless steel, glass, or stoneware bowls, which clean easily and completely and don't retain odors. Always inspect any bowls for scratches or nicks and replace if necessary. 8. Select drinking fountains with your cat and your level of commitment in mind. One of the most highly developed senses in cats is auditory, Dr. Collarin says. If you can hear the pet drinking fountain, the sound is like screaming to cats and will cause some to avoid the fountain. Also select fountains that can be easily cleaned in a dishwasher to avoid mold and mildew. Opt for a fountain with washable filters. Otherwise, you need to keep on schedule to regularly replace the filters to keep the water clean. 9. Introduce a novel liquid. Some cats really like bottled clam juice, Dr. Collarin says. And when you open that can of water-based tuna, squeeze out the tuna water and put it in a container that you can add purified water in. Keep refrigerated it and offer it to your cat. 10. Up the appeal of a catio. Kate says to place a bowl of fresh water in your enclosed catio every day. It can entice the cat to drink where he safely gets to look, listen to, and smell the outdoors. Exactly how much water? Veterinarians recommend that cats need to take in about 4 ounces of water per 5 pounds of body weight daily to stay hydrated. So the average 10-pound cat should drink about 1 cup of water per day. Cats who eat wet food, which can contain up to 80% water, might drink less, while cats who only eat dry food will usually get more of their daily water requirement by drinking. Water drinking strategies. We asked pet lovers on Facebook to identify how they get their felines to drink water. Here's what they dished out. We have water dishes in almost every room of our house, and I add a tiny bit of chicken broth to one or more of them for my two seniors, Uncle Satchel and Auntie Scarlett, Wendy Lindstrom. Polly Smith says, I give my cats Maggie, Victoria, and Turkey wet food and add extra water to their meals. Catherine Kern says, Latte won't drink out of a regular bowl with still water. I thought a fountain was gimmicky until we got one. I totally see the difference in how much water Latte and Ellie now drink. I have a tall glass and a mug for stability on my nightstand so that my 14-year-old Hattie doesn't have to go far for water at night. It started out as a glass for me, but it was quickly co-opted, Tamar Arslanian said. Wet food, multiple water bowls, and adding water to their food works for us. Bootsy is 9 and has had urinary issues. Foster cat Hallow is 2 and has had constipation issues. This is Allison Hunter Frederick. And finally, Danielle Joe Bing says, I have 3 different types of water fountains, each with different levels of movement. They're all on different floors of my house for my 5 cats, Mr. Meowgi, Vespertine, Tango, Tux, and Morrissey. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine, and we'll start with an article titled Time for Doggy Daycare by Karen Hendricks. Going back to the office, we've got tips for finding a daycare that's sure to be a howling success. Thinking about dog boarding during your workday? A suggestion might make you feel guilty, but dog daycare can be fun, even enriching, for both you and your pup. How will you know if your dog likes daycare? As one of our experts say, you'll know because your dog will never lie to you. Does my dog need daycare? Ask yourself. Do you have time every 2 hours to give your dog attention? If you're one of the millions of Americans who adopted a dog during the pandemic amid the work from home lifestyle, your dog might be used to lots of quality time with his people. If you're still working from home, are you interacting with your pet every 2 hours by taking a short walk together, enjoying a tummy rub, or romping in the yard? If you honestly can't devote those pockets of quality time to your dog, and no judgment if you can't, work happens, or if you're returning to an office job, then doggy daycare might be a great solution. That's according to Carmen Rustenbeck, CEO and founder of the International Boarding and Pet Services Association, IBPSA. Carmen advises pet owners not to feel guilty because there are lots of silver linings for both you and your dog. Doggy daycare is a facility where the staff takes care of your dog either for a few hours or a day, or for a longer period of time, like boarding your dog when you go on vacation. Dog boarding has been around for many years, but dog daycare has taken off with the increase of dog ownership among working families. Finding the right match. Crowdsourcing is your first step, Carmen says. Simply ask your friends and family for their best recommendations. Next, drive past each daycare to evaluate curb appeal. Carmen says to approach this like a real estate search. Does the facility look clean and well-maintained? If the answer is yes, call to schedule a visit. Expect the dog boarding facility to require your pet's proof of vaccinations and your vet's contact info. But Carmen reminds dog owners like that Bordetella kennel cough changes just like strains of flu in humans. Therefore, the Bordetella vaccine cannot guarantee your dog's complete protection, but the likelihood of him getting sick is decreased. Dog daycare and boarding as an industry has grown exponentially in recent years, but in many countries, including the United States and Canada, pet boarding and daycare is not regulated. Carmen advises pet owners to research whether local, city, or state regulations are in place. Facilities that belong to IBPSA agree to adhere to the industry's best practices as part of their membership. If you are happy and satisfied with all the answers you receive, ask to schedule a dog boarding test visit with your dog. A test visit can last just a few hours or one overnight stay, but it's important to keep it short to assess both how your dog does and how satisfied you are with the experience. Before finalizing your choice, make sure you also sniff out any red flags. Overall, does the facility feel safe and secure? A top question for geriatric dogs, is the flooring slippery? Are there places where you can imagine your dog putting his nose, and do they look safe? If you're uneasy about any of the answers to these questions, these may be red flags. Speaking of noses, make sure to use yours. There shouldn't be any unpleasant odors, Carmen says. Do the dogs seem overscheduled? Nap time is vital. Carmen says her dog daycare provider turns down the lights and plays classical music between noon and 3 p.m. During that time, no dog pickups are allowed, which literally lets all sleeping dogs lie. And don't forget to check out the extras. The list of services offered by dog daycare facilities is ever-growing. Here are a few options you may want to seek. Walks and exercise, alone or with other dogs. Grooming, including baths, nail trims, and dog's massage. Games and socialization, enrichment, such as training and behavior modification. Ask if the trainers are certified. Are you and your dog ready? Most dog boarding facilities require a temperament test, Carmen says. This basically evaluates how well your dog tolerates and gets along with other dogs. This is especially vital during group activities, socialization, and playtime. But Carmen advises dog owners to also think about their own mindset. To set the tone for your dog, keep a positive, happy outlook while preparing your pup, driving, and arriving. This can go a long way in laying the groundwork for a positive experience, meeting both your and your dog's needs. Rescue dog Gigi goes to doggy daycare twice a week, but her human, Lynn and Amasi, relies on two different dog boarding facilities in the Charlotte, North Carolina area because each facility has a slightly different strength. She prefers one daycare when the thunderstorms are forecasted because it's soundproof and even offers an app-based camera that lets Lynn keep a watchful eye on Gigi. The second facility is smaller with a more personal touch. Gigi is well-loved at both dog boarding facilities, where she enjoys baths and training. Ultimately, Lynn says she values dog daycare because it provides her with a quiet work-from-home atmosphere, as well as socialization for Gigi. An added perk, Lynn loves receiving cute playtime photos of Gigi. Trust your instinct as well as your dog's. Your dog won't lie to you. The experience should leave your pup shouldn't leave your pup exhausted. You'll know if your dog is happy, says Carmen, by his behavior and mood. Ideally, daycare should be a healthy break that refreshes both you and your faithful companion. As the saying goes, reunited and it feels so good. A word from the pros. On a typical day, Holiday House Pet Resort and Training Center welcomes about 85 dogs. Located in Doylestown, Pennsylvania, Holiday House is veterinarian owned. The distinction sets them apart and gives many dog owners peace of mind, says Cheryl Lindley, Holiday House's daycare and training program director. She's seen an increase in daycare demand since the pandemic, primarily because dog owners are recognizing their pets' needs for socialization amid or following shutdowns. Daycare options at Holiday House include group play in three categories called adventurers, explorers, and trailblazers. Activities include pools, brain games, nature hikes, and agility skills. VIP daycare is available for dogs who aren't quite ready for large group experiences or those who aren't spayed or neutered yet. The most rewarding part of offering daycare, Cheryl says, is building bonds with every dog. Even though she only has one dog at home, she considers herself lucky to have hundreds of dogs on the job. She especially loves gaining trust from puppies who are nervous when they first come in. Even adult dogs who are friendly and playful at home can take a while to come out of their shells at daycare. Cheryl says each dog needs time to process his introduction to daycare. Next, we'll move on to WAGS, my favorite article. This program's will be International Dog Rescue, Cartagena Paws, Stories by Alan D. Herrera. As the sun begins to rise over the historical seaside city of Cartagena, Colombia, American Maureen Catu begins preparing for her day. Slip leash, wet dog food, wipes, and a small blanket are quickly stuffed into her bright green backpack. All essentials for an important day's work. It's during these morning hours that local free-ranging dogs roam the streets in search of food until the heat sends them into the seclusion in search of shade. Searching for strays. On this morning, Maureen and I arrive in the small village of La Boquila, one of the poorest neighborhoods located on the northernmost point of Cartagena. Within a few minutes, we find what we're searching for. There's one, Maureen says. I follow as she makes her way down an embankment toward a brown female dog resting on an abandoned sofa. This adorable young medium-sized mixed breed has one raised ear and another floppy. Cautiously wagging her tail, she allows Maureen to crouch down and approach her as she begins to roll on her back. She's so submissive, Maureen says, while rubbing her belly. Her sad eyes tell her story. Locals tell us she's a friendly stray who recently birthed a litter of pups that all perished. I help Maureen slowly wrap the leash around her neck as she scoops her up like a child and we leave. We name her Christabel. A Cartagena's dog center, veterinary doctor Ximena Perez, begins treating Cristobal for parasites and a skin infection. Unfortunately, she's tested positive for heartworm, she says. She will need a lot of rest. Heartworm treatment is long and difficult, but will ultimately save her life. Changing dogs' lives. Maureen launched her dog rescue organization, Cartagena Paws, in 2015. In addition to rescuing dogs from the streets, Maureen, an elementary school teacher, knows the important role of education and community outreach. We think it's essential to teach local children how to show compassion for animals, she says. We continually go back to the same communities to build relationships and reinforce our message of how to coexist safely with street dogs. 5 months after being rescued, Maureen arrives with Cristobal in her hometown of Buffalo, New York. It's here that her partner organization, Buffalo Cares Animal Rescue, will prepare Cristobal for adoption and a new life. We've adopted over 50 dogs from Cartagena Paws, says Paula Lavango Tatu, who founded the nonprofit in 2013. Our fosters really take their time to find the right home for these wonderful Colombian dogs. In January, Cristobal was finally adopted. She has the most loving eyes, says Cynthia Germain, Cristobal's new caretaker. She loves her belly rubs and lying on the sofa. For more information, you can visit cartagenapaws.com, which is CartagenaPaws, and buffalocares.rescuegroups.org. Now we'll have some little short articles from Obsessions Health Talk by Jackie Brown. Kids who live with dogs less likely to get Crohn's disease. According to a recent study, toddlers who grow up with dogs have a lower risk of developing a common inflammatory bowel disease called Crohn's disease later in life. The study, which was presented in May at the Digestive Disease Week conference in San Diego, found that kids' exposure to dogs, but not cats, especially between the ages of 5 and 15, was linked with a healthy gut. According to the study's senior author, Williams Turpin, Ph.D. of Mount Sinai Hospital and the University of Toronto, the study explores a theory known as the hygiene hypothesis, which suggests that not being exposed to microbes early in life could negatively impact immune regulation toward environmental microbes. And the world's oldest living dog. In May, Guinness World Records declared a toy fox terrier named Pebbles to be the oldest living dog in the world. Pebbles, owned by Bobby and Julie Gregory of South Carolina, was born on March 28, 2000, which makes her more than 22 years old. Pebble unseats the previous record holder, a 21-year-old Chihuahua named Toby Keith. Owned by Gisela Shore of Green Acres, Florida, Toby Keith had just been crowned world's oldest dog in March. When the Gregories heard the news of his record, they realized Pebbles was older, so they applied to the Guinness Book of World Records. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. All About Pets is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.